He landed in Fort Yukon Christmas Day, 1894. He come in Canada and down up the Peel and down the Porcupine. And he got in Fort Yukon Christmas Day. And he thought he was going to be able to get some grub when he got there. And he said all he could get was a little handful of tea. That's all they had.
It was
1894? 1894. And he was an endowment member. And an endowment member in those days was over cost you over $500. Uh-huh. Yeah, to become an endowment member. Yeah.
What do you mean endowment?
You can endowment, you can, it costs you $500 to become an endowment member. Or a benefactor is $1,000.
For what?
For life membership in the NRA.
And, National Rifle Association.
They have different designations of different members.
Yeah, well, you're talking about National Rifle Association.
Yeah, National Rifle Association.
Here, eat your
ice
cream and
dessert. Yeah, okay. Well, that isn't going now, is
no.
it? No, that's good. But I'll just read you the differences in the membership.
No, it's one of these.
I just couldn't keep up with him. He just walked me to death.
The number came up from Nenana that they used in the building and unloaded it there. Could have done that.
I thought they bought the lumber right there in Fairbanks.
No,
who did they buy
it
from?
The old
Riverside might have come from the original building.
Yeah, the original building there in Fairbanks, the Steel Hotel, or what was it called, Riverside?
The Riverside.
Uh-huh. Well, that had been built a long time before then.
Okay, now.
Yeah, I forget that woman's name. I even stayed in there then with her.
Jansen?
What was her name?
Jansen, something like that.
That sounds like it, yeah.
Jansen.
Yeah.
Well,
I stayed in
Jansen,
there.
J-A-N-S-A.
Jansen.
She had a
yeah, she had
woman's
a, dress
shop
just
there.
A big house.
She lived in there on between 2nd and 3rd on Cushman Street. She had a woman's apparel shop.
Oh. But
and she lived at the hotel.
Yeah, but the woman that owned it, the one that before that mother and dad bought the Riverside Hotel, it was called.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was called the Riverside, wasn't it?
It was right there on the same spot. Yeah.
Where the Steel was? Steel Hotel?
Yeah. But your father is the one that put the big, made a hotel out of it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
it was,
built,
yeah.
It was just like a big house before that.
It was a hotel.
Yes, it was a small hotel and they built on
the
old park.
But I mean, it wasn't anything like what was after Bob fixed it. Just a small place before that.
Well, he put a third story on it, didn't he?
Hmm?
Bob put the third story on it.
He built on to the side
of
it.
He doubled the size
of it.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
It was a two-story on one side and then they had to make three stories on the new or something.
But the first part was built around 38 or 39?
No, that was the old... No, 39 is when Dad and Mother added on to it. But when the first part was built, I don't know. That was a long, long time ago.
Oh, that was a long time before that. Because
probably
Jimmy Newlin and Pearl,
the
Opal, which was it? Pearl, his Jimmy Newlin's wife. They run that for quite a long time themselves.
Because
I stayed there.
That's the section I got this little board out of.
The old part.
The old part. Because the fellow was tearing it down. I collect these little boards from old buildings. Because sometimes they just bulldoze them in and burn them up.
Well,
so
that definitely wasn't
I told
from
him
here.
I wanted something from the original building.
Yeah, and both of
so
them are gone now.
So he saved it.
Jimmy Newlin's
gone
and so is she.
And it's got old green paint on it. It's real old and chipped and...
Yeah, I used to stay there.
Then he knows
winter.
I'm interested in that, so he came out with a key.
When,
room
you know,
19,
when the
FE
was
Hotel.
Yeah.
Kind of closed down for a little bit, I stayed there. Before that, I stayed at the old Alaska Hotel. And then I got to going up there after Jimmy Newland got there, had it. And I remember that's where I was. I was gone during the day out to the airfield and helping Frank Pollock, just to be around airplanes, I guess. Nothing else to do. And it was more fun out there than it was hanging around town. There's nothing there but bars, and I didn't patronize them. So later, I come home for supper to clean up and go to the model for my dinner. And Mrs. Newland, she says, do you know a fellow by the name of Smith and Chuck Herbert? And I said, yeah. Well, she says, they was in here looking for you this afternoon. And they want you to wait here after supper. Don't run away. They want to see you. So I stayed, and they both come and went in my room there, and they wanted to know what I knew about Wade Creek and one thing and another, and they asked me if I didn't think it would be a good idea. You know, dozers were just kind of coming into vogue then. Mm-hmm. And they thought, by gosh, that they could take and shove stuff into the boxes, like with a cat, and then take a nozzle and hose it and shove it into the boxes, you see. Have wings up to keep the stuff from flying all over. And I told them that sounded feasible to me. And I told them that, well, they wanted to know if I thought it'd pay. I told them, gosh, any kind of mine would bring their pay on Wade if they done it right, you know, and washed themselves. And as near as I knew about the stuff, and heck, just the winter before, I'd stayed with old Charlie Martin. We'd roomed together there in the old Alaska Hotel for part of the winter. And you remember before that, that there Knowles had everything corralled on in the country about over there, and that chicken and Wade and every place. You remember how he had it all optioned up?
McCandless had Wade.
Hmm?
McCandless.
Oh, and was he the one that had Wade? Oh, I thought that Knowles had part of it, too.
He might have had part of it, but he had Charlie Martin's gun.
Oh, did he? Mm-hmm. Oh, McCandless, huh? Mm-hmm. Oh, good day. Well, I know that he, whoever had it, give it up. I thought it was Knowles, but McCandless. Well,
Martin.
I don't know, but I know McCandless was operating it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Charlie Martin said that they give it up, was it the 1st of June or the 1st of July? And he went ahead and put in a little cut after that. And out of that little cut, he got $12,000. Hmm. Yeah. And, you know, what is the name of those two brothers that lived down there on the mouth of Wade? I can't think of their names. Oh, isn't it awful when you can't think of all his names? Well, anyway, there's one of the, he come over from Wade and was going to go to Juneau. Well, Dorothy and that big girl that was sawing chicken there too. A chicken, what the heck was her name? Just looked like Dorothy, big girl, just like that. Well, they used to come down and see this here fella there. He was staying in the Northern Hotel. Yeah, that's where he was staying, in the old Northern Hotel. And Charlie and I was up there one evening after supper, and was Lassen Andy Lassen. You remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we was gabbing away there, you know, and reminiscing and stuff, and pretty soon we heard a couple of girls laughing coming up the stairway, and it was Dorothy King, and later Dorothy King, and don't you remember that big girl, Mom?
I remember the person, but I don't
You remember who I mean, don't you?
I
I can't think of it. They lived on the hill up there, a chicken.
Springbutt?
Huh?
Springbutt?
No.
No, Springbutt. That's quite a name.
That's Dorothy McCarthy.
Is it?
That's Dorothy McCarthy.
Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, and Dorothy, she was Broger then.
Yes.
Yeah. And we heard them coming. And as soon as they got up there, why, and he pulls out a bottle. And Charlie says, come on, Barney. He says, I don't think this is going to be any place for you and me. So we left. When we got down the stairs, we could hear him giggling up there in the room. And Charlie, he says, well, it's taking effect fast. Big, tall, old Swede.
He was a singing Swede.
Pardon?
He was a singing Swede.
That's right. A lot of Mars.
Well, tell me about the Steels. Now, was it your mother and father, Roberta, who had the roadhouse here?
And, yeah.
Well, when did they come to Eagle? Did they come here first, or?
Mother did. She came in 1908 here in Eagle. And Dad, I think.
Who was
that? It was in 99, I think.
Her folks.
Just what brought him to Eagle, he was in 40 Mile, yeah, in 99, you know. Uh-huh. So he must have come down to Eagle about after that.
Or did he build
but the post was what brought him here. I mean, you know, and they were building this. He worked for, he was a mule skinner for the military.
For the military, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was what brought him here, and Mother came because she had a sister living here who was Clyde, or married to Clyde Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And she, that's what brought her up.
Well, did they build the roadhouse that they ran over here? That was right,
yeah,
over here where Vince's.
They didn't build the original building, but it was built originally for a roadhouse of some kind or, mm-hmm, a restaurant. And
wasn't it built for either customs or some?
Well, I thought that, didn't Clyde Thompson's sister run a restaurant there?
Maybe she did.
Lou Maddox. I think she did. But at the time that Dad got it, was bought as a home.
Oh,
home we were in, by then we had outgrown
the
home
family
we were in.
Then
they bought that and, of course, fixed it up as a home, and then they enlarged it and started adding on to it. And roadhouse out of it.
Well, did when Vince and Peggy James came up here, did they buy it from your family, or that was from a...
I think they bought it from Gilbert Thompson. Because that was, Dad sold it to the Thompson.
Oh, I
second
see.
Generation Thompson.
Yeah.
Gilbert.
And was that about the time he moved to Fairbanks and built the Steel Hotel? Or?
No, they had this for a while before. Mother had moved down there, you know, in 37 and bought... It's a Jance's Riverside. And then in 39, they added on to that. And it became a Steel Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad didn't move down there until, well, somewhat time. Not, it was soon after he sold it, during the war sometime. 41 or 2.
I think Vince said he and Peggy bought the place in the early 40s.
Early 40s, yeah.
Yeah.
They would have bought it then. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They got it from Buster, didn't they? Yeah.
But they only lived there. They only ran it. Buster only had it for a year or two.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And he sold it.
He and Lil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Vince is over there putting sawdust in like mad, and then it rained like mad. Well, I wonder if he got that covered up.
Poor
fellow. Oh. In the rough, you know, he's trying to get that.
That sawdust, no doubt, was some of the original post sawdust.
Where is he getting his sawdust cylinder?
Probably down here. You dig
you
down in there and just
deep.
Bright and shiny as if it was
oh,
put in there.
Oh,
Anthony
Thomas. Yeah, probably there.
Must be really good.
He said yesterday.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. He put it all the way around the place over
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
He's getting it from Murley's up there to sawmill.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If I saw someone had dug down here at the old sawmill, that's just as bright and shiny as could be when you dig into it. Yeah.
We done.
Just a little ways under the surface.
That's been there for 50 years.
50 years?
Be over 50.
Some of it there 70 years.
70 years.
Forget it pretty soon.
Yeah. That's a good place to go get a little souvenir.
Yeah, okay.
Say, sell that. In little jars that you sell gold in. Yeah. Some of the original Fort Egbert.
Yeah, sawdust. Yep. Well, didn't your folks, or did they before Randall's left? They left in the last boat on the fall of 29, didn't they?
Randall left in 28, yeah.
And who were the Randalls? Were they roadhouse operators? Or?
Yeah, they had that old Riverside
Roadhouse.
They had a
Riverside over here. Wasn't that a Riverside too? Mm-hmm.
Riverside House.
The old Riverside. Riverside House. Yeah, Riverside Hotel.
Are they the ones who went to Fairbanks then and started the...
No.
Yeah.
They went to Kirkland, Washington.
The old folks, Randalls, they're both gone, but Cy Randall, or Cyril... he works for Glenn Carrington, isn't it? He's in Anchorage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was up this summer. Where have we seen? He was up this summer.
It's right here.
Yeah. Yeah, good old Cy. Yeah.
Well, tell me when you came here, Barney.
29, the spring.
What did you do, get kicked out of home, or did you just...
No, you mean what brought me up? Yeah. Well, I'd been up in the Southeastern in 1915 for just a trip. And I never could get the thoughts of the place out of my system, but always had too much to do. Well, I eventually went to work for the Union Oil Company about 1925 or something like that. And I went up pretty fast. In fact, I went up too fast, I guess. But I finally got into an office. And the spring of 1929 was the most beautiful day outdoors you ever saw. And I couldn't even get the dang window open. It was stuck with paint. So I just said, what in the heck are you doing here? You're going to have to make a change because... this is a different environment for me, because I'd always been an outdoors guy, you know, working on a farm and stuff, and hunting for the wool growers, coyotes. So I went, there was a big shot from Seattle right across the hall in the Union Oil office there in Yakima, and I went in and I told him I was through to get somebody else take my place. Why, he says, what's the matter, Hans? He said, you just can't quit. I says, the hell I can't. I've already quit. And that is all there was to it. But, boy, he tried to talk me into staying. But I told him, by gosh, I couldn't even get the window open to get some fresh air of God's pretty country out here. And I'd met old Bert Bryant before, then the gun shop in Yakima. And he told me if I ever got to Eagle, Alaska, to come on up and see old Bert. So I just thought, well, by gosh, I'll just go up and see old Bert.
Enter the gold bug.
Yeah.
So you came to Eagle then?
Yeah, come right straight to Eagle.
Your brother Ole,
old Bert was here. Yeah. I and my brother Ole. He wanted. Hey, by gosh, he talked himself into coming with me too.
Yeah, I was wondering. I thought that Ole came at the same time you did.
Yeah, he come too, and the mosquitoes just eat him up, and they didn't bother me a bit. That is, they bite, but you know, it didn't raise any welts on me, and they big white welts on him, and boy, they bothered him. And we come in to go see the Discovery Days in Dawson. We heard quite a bit about. And about the first time I ever got plastered, or not plastered, I got more than I should have had. I got sick anyway. Out of the deal. And the next morning, and by gosh, there's going to be a reckoning. around this place. Going to have to be a change take place. And there was, and I never been that way since. Yes, sir.
So you came to Eagle, and you just you stayed in this area. Well, you worked in Fairbanks, so.
Oh, yeah, and in 34, somebody must have told them that I was pretty good at stacking tailings and one thing or another, and how they found it out, I don't know, unless Jimmy Newland told them. But they rode over, and, well, I come in February. I went out on that last boat of 33 and come in February. And it was getting so you could fly over from Fairbanks here pretty reasonable, $125 one way. So before that, it had been $250.
That's only 2 or 3 months' wages, then.
Yeah. Didn't hardly cost anything. But I got a letter from the FE company, from Jack Boswell, wanting to know if I would come over. They wanted to see me. So I went over. And they paid my way back, and I got my stuff and went back. And when they opened up on Esther that spring, I was the first one out there.
So when they first started dredging out at Esther?
Yeah.
Or thawing?
No, it was, they started laying a little pipe that spring, and they were still cutting brush and burning it, you know, preparing to strip. And I didn't get in on any of that, but I helped build a little dam, and we had a 20-inch pipeline coming out of this little bit of a dam. We built it with wheelbarrows and stuff, you know, and then he put in a pump, one of those big 16-inch pumps, electric pumps, and we run a little line down the creek, and we had a couple of giants off of it. And you know, they didn't even know how to turn it on. Yeah. So they got all ready, you know, and old Olaf Iverson, he was the boss. He come and told me to, he said, go down there and take that gun, Hansson. Big old tall Norwegian. And he wanted some of those other Norwegian boys that he knew better to go on that first giant, see. But Jack, I seen Jack tell him to go tell me to get on it, see. But he didn't like that. And so I went over there and standing by that gun there, and I was sizing up the lay of things there, and well, the laws of hydraulics is the first requirement is drainage. So I just figured out where there ought to be a drain, and that's what I'd put in first, you know, and then start stripping from there. And they went in there and pressed the button. Well, man alive, the way that water come down that pipeline and hit that giant, and, well, I'd got out of the road. I knew what was going to happen. That giant was just going to bust that head block and just go way out in the field. And just what happened. And all of the big wigs of the FE company was there. I think there was even some from Salt Lake City to watch it. Well, when that blew like that, there was a great big huddle amongst them. And after a little bit, Jack Boswell came over, and he says, well, he says, it doesn't look like it's going to be a success, Barney. I said, well, not if you turn it on like that. But I says, why don't you take and shut your gates off and said, turn on the pumps? And after everything is gravity fed, filled up, I says, and then turn on your pumps. I says, and it'll be all right. You can open it up just the same as with gravity pressure. Oh, he says, the pumps wouldn't take it. Well, I says, don't you know that that's the reason they got a centrifugal pump on automobile cooling systems? They don't put a piston pump on it. They put a rotary pump, mm-hmm. See? I says, it don't hurt that thing to whirl in that water all day long. It only generates so much pressure, and that's it. And he says, "You sure?" I told him, "Well, I've studied hydraulics, mister. I know we're off a speak." And so he goes back over there and in this big huddle, and he probably told them that he just thought it up, you know, and one thing another. And so they went to work and they put everything all back again. And then they had another big opening day after the Giants was all set again, you know, and redone. And did. We turned the gate on the Giant off, and the gate right there at the pump. They had a big gate hanging on each side of the pump to start with. Mm-hmm. Why they had it, I don't know. But they did. They had them, and they had them shut off. And that is the one, the discharge gate. And the intake gate was already open. So they started opening it up slow, just like you would with gravity pressure. Heck, there was nothing to it. They went to hydraulicking. Yeah. And so the first summer, I stripped, and Vic Carlson was on the other 12-hour shift. We worked 12 hours apiece, stripping. And we had it all stripped, what they had brushed off, in just no time. And then they had to run in a whole bunch more men to cut more brush and burn it and stuff, so we'd have something to strip. Yeah, and
who were some of the other people working at FE at that time, besides Jack Boswell?
Oh, there was Olaf Iverson, and there was several. There was, doggone, you know, I got a lot of the pictures, too. I've got a whole mess of old hydraulic pictures from Esther and Cripple. Yeah. And, my gosh, you know, it's kind of hard to name some of those fellas. Oh, there's some of them now prominent around in industry and one thing and another.
Jack Link was working there then, wasn't he?
Who?
Jack Link in the office.
Oh, yeah, he was in town.
Yeah,
he was comptroller, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And
he was King Regent for the Pioneers this year.
Yeah, was he?
Mm-hmm.
Good for him, yeah.
Did you know Oscar Phipps?
Yeah.
Yeah, his...
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
Oscar died in 68.
Yeah.
And his wife, Lena Phipps, he married her in 52.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was Queen Regent. So they were both FE people who were King and Queen Regent this year. They were real nice, King and Queen. She's a real quiet. You know her?
Yeah. You know her well.
Real quiet. Oh, that pleased her so much. She'd be chosen.
Yeah. Yeah, Oscar and I worked in the powerhouse together for a winter and part of a summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he helped build the... worked on a lot of the dredges and helped build the powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then he stayed with them until he retired.
Yeah.
Well, did you ever know... any of the guys going to college out there just working
summers? Yeah, I knew a whole mess of them because I had a whole mess of them.
Yeah,
yeah, but
were they all greenhorns?
To name them now, you know, I just can't think of any of their names, and I know. Oh,
how about Jim Dalton?
Yeah, yeah.
Punk college kid.
Who?
He was a punk college kid.
Yeah, there were a lot of them.
If it hadn't been for FE Company and old Dr. Bunnell, between the two of them, they helped a lot of them.
Oh, I'll say they did. You betcha. Yeah. Well, if I could just get those pictures, there's a lot of them that I know that I think that you'd know, mm-hmm. probably.
Well, you went over from Eagle in 34 to Fairbanks.
Yeah.
Well,
mm-hmm.
You came here in 29, though. What'd you do between 29 and 34?
Well, I worked up
besides
on Alder
Mary
Creek.
Ole.
He didn't marry.
No,
we
weren't married.
They weren't married then?
Yeah, I worked up on Alder Creek for a couple of years, and then I worked down, I went down to July Creek, or Nation, and I worked there for 3 years.
Were you prospecting? Or?
No, working with Dick Bauer, for Dick Bauer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was mining there on July Creek.
Holy, you've got quite a cold.
And then...
you've got quite a cold.
Oh, I've got a miserable cold.
fall of 33, I come into Eagle here and went out on the last boat. I hadn't even been thinking about it, but the day before, oh, heck, I'm going to go out on the taxi. So I did. I went out, and I come back in, oh, it was early February.
Did you ever end up in an office job again?
No. No, sir, I didn't end up in an office job. No, I was right there on Cripple. I was night foreman for quite a long time. But my main job was, before I left Esther, the first year, was to teach fellas how to pipe. They had never seen anybody that piped like I did.
And, you mean hydraulic with the giant?
Yeah, and Jack Boswell, he come out with old Olaf one time. I was piping, and I had a nice setup, and it was working pretty the way it laid, you know. And it was, you know, the old-timers, and with their drift mining, they had shoved a lot of, they had hoisted an awful pile of gravel. Well, yeah. That was all tailing piles, you know, all over Esther. Well, that stuff all had to be shoved to the center. And then